Drive Time on RTE Radio 1 with National Irish Bank. The bank that brought Danske Bank's international expertise to Ireland is now bringing the Danske Bank name.
It's a quarter to five. Now, yesterday on the programme, we heard reports of students who were concerned about inaccurate information they received in sex education talks. The talks were given by Pure in Heart, a lay Catholic organisation which promotes sexual abstinence for unmarried young people. This has led to calls for the banning of such groups from schools. But is there room for the teaching of abstinence and chastity to Irish young people? Ben Conroy of the Iona Institute is on the line. Ben, good evening to you.
Good evening to you, Mary.
I know, Ben, you don't speak for Pure in Heart, but were you surprised at some of the details which students reported from these talks? You know, details like that condoms fail one in six times, resulting in pregnancy, that condoms don't work in Africa, and hormones released during sex are used up when a person loses their virginity. Are you surprised at detail like that being disseminated at
talks? I was quite surprised, perhaps for a slightly different reason, in the sense that I've been to one Pure in Heart talk at a retreat one time, and the picture of Pure in Heart being painted by these reports was not the one that I knew. First of all, that talk about hormones did come up in the talk, and the idea that they said anything as simplistic as it's all used up when you lose your virginity, it's certainly not what I heard. And that statistic on condoms, for example, is very interesting, Mary, in the sense that if you look at the U.S. Center for Disease Control statistics, it's not, of course, true that one in every six condoms fails, but it is true that what we call the failure rate of couples trying not to get pregnant using condoms is one in six. So in other words, with typical use of condoms over a period of a year, one out of every six couples, or slightly more than that, who are trying not to get pregnant, will get pregnant. So, you know, if teenagers remembered, I'm 20 myself, but if teenagers ever remembered everything they heard with perfect recall, we wouldn't need state exams. And
Ben, perhaps if detail was disseminated clearly and accurately in a regulated environment, we wouldn't have this conflict.
Well, precisely, but I think, you know, regulated environment in what sense regulated? First of all, because it's easy to imagine someone talking, you know, Pure in Heart might have mentioned that correct statistic and it could easily have been misinterpreted. But again, it's up to Pure in Heart to talk about that. What I'm primarily interested in is the broad point. You know, do Catholic schools, or do indeed any schools, have the right to have groups in to talk about the Catholic understanding of sex, to talk about a view of sex that is more than anything goes between consenting adults, here's how to use a condom. Something that emphasizes love and commitment and fidelity. And I think there's a huge amount of room for that. And I think our society needs more of that, not less.
But in that case, is it incumbent on the school and on the state who fund these schools to ensure that the groups that are coming in have a proper level of training to provide information, whether it's information on sexual activity or whether it's information on Catholicism and the Catholic approach to abstinence and love and so on?
Well, yeah, again, what sort of training? I think the key thing is you've got to look at groups and what are they saying and what is their message and is what they're saying scientifically accurate? And those are all very, very good questions to ask, and I support that wholeheartedly. One thing I'd say is that we need to hear more in terms of, you know, people who are advocating the more contraceptive-based model of sex education. We need to hear more about, like, the one in six statistic for typical use. We only ever hear about the statistic for perfect use, whereas in the real world, it is one in six about that. We also don't hear enough about the kind of thing that you see on the crisis pregnancy on agency's website before you decide, about regret and about, you know, the fact that people who start having sex young tend to regret it. And people, you know, almost nobody says, you know, oh, I wish I'd started having sex earlier, but you get quite a lot of the other thing. And I think you can absolutely have people promoting ideals and promoting standards and promoting really high standards without that being judgmental or fear-based or scientifically inaccurate. I don't see any contradiction there. And that was my experience.
But would you also subscribe to the view that you can provide all of the information you talk about, but that it's also essential to provide a safety message?
Again, the question is, you know, what is safe sex? What is that phrase, safe sex? It's a phrase that actually fascinates me, Mary, in terms of what does it mean, you know? Because the way I would look at sex, and I think it's a holistic view of sex.
I don't know what it means to you, Ben, but it would suggest to me that if a teenager decides to engage in sexual activity, that their parents might not like the fact that they're engaging in sexual activity, may yeah. not agree with it, but they would at the very least like to think that their teenagers are engaging in safe sex so that they will not contract sexually transmitted diseases, and perhaps for young girls of 16, 17, 18, that they're not going to end up with an unplanned pregnancy.
Well, let's look at what the effect of those kind of more comprehensive, so-called comprehensive, more contraceptive-based programs is. So you look at England, for example, which has had sex education much more along the lines you've just suggested than maybe the Pure and Heart model. And in 2008, the under-16 pregnancy rates, that's births plus abortions, was more than five times higher in England than Ireland per head of population. You know, the 18 to 19 pregnancy rate wasn't as dramatically bigger, but it's still about twice as big. So places like England and the United States have been trying this model of kind of safe sex, as in here's how to use a condom, and it hasn't particularly been working. Now, people say, well, does abstinence education work either? And the evidence seems to be that if the programs are well designed, they actually can have an impact. There's a big study about the Washington Post published a piece about, which showed that studies done, abstinence programs run effectively, run with plenty of room for questions and answers, run, you know, using workshops and games, as Pure and Heart actually do.
But do you not think, Ben, that both messages can be provided to students?
You see, the question is about both messages. Is well, what kind of values do we want to impart to our young people? And I've always thought, you know, there's a certain kind of meme going out that teenagers just are going to have sex, no matter what you do, no matter how well intentioned you are. You know, teenagers are going to have sex. And again, you know, as a 20-year-old person, I've always found that incredibly patronizing, in the sense that we're always talking about hearing young people's voices, about bringing them more into decision-making. And yet, when it comes to sex, we're saying all we can say is put on a condom. I think that the vision of sex that's implied by the Orthodox Christian view of sex and marriage is a much richer, more life-affirming, fulfilling approach. And I think the evidence and the science bears that out. So my question is, should we be telling our 15 and 16-year-olds how to put on a condom, or should we be telling them about love, fidelity, commitment?
Or should we be telling them both?
Answer there.
Or should we be telling them both, Ben?
Again, it rests on the idea of what do we think is good?
But do you think if you teach a 16-year-old, and I vividly remember Gay Byrne teaching The Nation how to put on a condom many years ago, but do you think telling a 16-year-old how to put on a condom is going to lead them into sexual activity?
Not in itself, no. But I guess the question is, let's take smoking as another example. Okay, a lot of teenagers are going to smoke. Okay, whatever we say about that. Well, but we still have education campaigns that say, look, the evidence suggests that, you know, smoking is not particularly good for you, and particularly if you start young. So similarly, if we look at the evidence about what tends to lead to higher teenage birth rates, what tends to lead to you know, satisfaction or not later in life, and we look at, you know, what moves the human soul, in what way are we integrating sex with the human person, I think that vision of kind of like, well, here's how to put on a condom when you're 16, is a much poorer one. And I think the vision of having ideals, even if those ideals are not always lived up to. There was one of those journal.ie pieces, there was one guy who said that he was very scared. Like, it was almost kind of couched in terms of psychological trauma, that he had been having sex with his girlfriend, and this Pure and Heart thing had made him afraid that he'd become a father, right?
Is that not a valid fear?
My point, Mary, is simply this, right, okay? If, you know, oh, the horror, if one guy who's maybe 16, 17 decides to stop having sex with his girlfriend of 16, 17, whatever, because he's afraid he's not ready to become a father, and they decide to wait a few years, I mean, cry me a river. I think that's very few people would say that was a particularly awful state of affairs. I think that guy will live.
Just a very quick point to you, Ben, and the views that you're expressing. Are you allowing space here for, you know, the threat of sexually transmitted diseases? Are the needs of young lesbian, gay, transgender people in secondary schools and all of the difficulties they will have around identity and sexuality?
Well, I'll take each of those points in the sense that sexually transmitted infections, again, are talked about by a lot of these groups. And again, I'm not even saying let's impose one model. What I'm saying is let's leave space for different schools with different worldviews and different ethoses to express that and to talk about a vision that I think is a very, very good vision. And again, if we're looking at STDs, we're looking at teenage pregnancies, again, just look at Britain, just look at America.
No.
This more comprehensive model is not the cure-all that it's supposed to be. When it comes to gay and lesbian people,
yeah,
we should
briefly
absolutely do everything we possibly can to support them, to make them feel valued, to, within a Catholic framework, talk about gay people's vocations, talk about their equality with the rest of their brothers and sisters in the faith. And anyone who's not doing that is not being Christian enough.